Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Thursday, October 13th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. On the 105th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima's Miracle of the Sun. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, coast to coast across America. It's really, really good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up momentarily, David Carolla, the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA, is going to be with us to talk about the Miracle of the Sun and the apparitions and the secrets of Our Lady of Fatima. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories still making headlines this hour?
John, the Russian attacks on Ukraine continue, this time in the form of kamikaze drones hitting in the Kyiv area overnight. No casualties reported, but fires at some infrastructure locations. These are Iranian products, these kamikaze drones, and just the latest is part of the new aerial assault, with Russia having trouble on the ground against Ukraine as Ukrainian forces continue to push back in a big way in the east and southeastern portions of their country to reclaim territory taken by Russia. But Russia going to the air through missiles and now kamikaze drones, John.
We continue to keep an eye on that situation and pray for all of those folks that are suffering through these attacks at the hands of Putin as the war continues. Meanwhile, here in this country, there's some important changes that are coming up for Social Security recipients. What's going on, Glenn?
Those expecting Social Security checks could soon see a large increase. Cost of living increases happen from time to time, and this time looking at an 8.7% increase. That'll help out the 66 million Americans getting those checks.
And also, there is something on a little lighter note going on in Toledo, Ohio. Folks are dressing up a little bit early for Halloween.
This is about 2.5 weeks away from Halloween, and dress-up going on at a hospital in Toledo. The Nationwide Children's Hospital found some Toledo Police Department SWAT team members coming down the side of the building, dressed as Spider-Man and others, some superheroes making a kind of an interesting appearance at a hospital to cheer up those kids a little bit. Got me thinking about superheroes through the year. John, I'm sure to your kid and maybe many others, you're a superhero. But when you were little, I understand you would like to climb the walls a little bit yourself.
I was crazy about Batman. I thought it was Batman. I had the Batman outfit. I had the cape. I had the bat belt, the boomerang. In fact, I remember one time trying to climb up the side of our living room with the bat rope. So I was really, really goofy back then.
Any flashlights or emergency bat signals that you had set up or anything like that?
No, just remember, you know, running around the house, up and down the halls, being Batman, just being a crazy kid.
Yeah, no kids.
Did the commissioner have to come and tell you it was time for bed and to get off the walls then?
Very good. Hey, Sarah, what about you?
Well, definitely, I think all kids love to be superheroes and or just to think that they're fighting bad guys. I think there's something fun about fighting bad guys. I know, especially with my sons, one in particular was Batman 3 years in a row for Halloween, which is always nice because that's one less Halloween costume to have to look for. But weapons can be found and be made out of anything in the house for someone who has boys. And I think many parents are sympathizing with that. Legos, sticks, and toilet paper rolls. And you know what? They start with this as a weapon for the child to use as they're fighting the bad guys. But they're left on the floor unattended, become a weapon to attack the parent as they don't see it and step on it. So it can kind of go both ways. I don't think I'm a bad guy, but sometimes I think the kids might think that you are and they leave them there on purpose.
Thank you very much, Supermom. All right. Thanks, Sarah and Glenn, as always. And we always begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Revelation 12:1. A great sign appeared in the sky, and a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Our Blessed Mother Mary, the same lady that appeared on this day at Fatima in 1917 as Our Lady of the Rosary, is the woman clothed with the sun. Mary's mission for over two millennia has always been to lead us to her Son, Jesus, the light of the world. She's the star of the new evangelization, our Queen Mother that says to us, do whatever he tells you because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Always, you can send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. And if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. On this day, October 13th, 1917, a miraculous event took place that would change Fatima, Portugal forever. Three shepherd children named Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta said Our Lady had asked them to come on the 13th of every month and continue to pray the rosary every day to obtain peace for the world and an end to the war. Our Lady also promised a miracle that would take place at noon on October 13th so that all would believe. Listen to part of the Fatima documentary with Ricardo Montalban, which was instrumental in this reporter converting and coming back to the faith.
October 13th, 1917. More than 70,000 have gathered from every walk of life. Some hoping to view the promised miracle. Avelino d'Almeida, an outspoken skeptic regarding the apparitions, witnesses the occasion. He is the managing editor of O Século, the largest newspaper in Lisbon. His written account appears on the front page.
A spectacle unique and incredible if one had not been a witness to it. One can see the crowd turn toward the sun, which reveals itself free of clouds at full noon. The great star of the day makes one think of a silver plaque, and it is possible to look on it without the least discomfort. It might be an eclipse, but now it bursts forth in a colossal clamor, and we hear spectators cry, "Miracle! Miracle! Marvel! Marvel!" Before the astonished crowd, the sun trembled, made brusque movements unprecedented and outside of all cosmic law. The sun has danced.
I was absolutely blown away the first time that I saw this Fatima documentary with Ricardo Montalban. I couldn't believe that there were people still alive at that time that were witnesses to this incredible miracle that happened on this day. What is the significance of these apparitions, and why are they so important for all of us today during these difficult times in which we live in? Joining us live from New Jersey is David Carolla, the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, U.S. USA and our ladies' Blue Army to talk about the great miracle of the sun that occurred on this day at Fatima 105 years ago. David Carolla is often heard and seen on Catholic radio and television discussing the Fatima message as well as other issues related to our Catholic faith. Good morning, David. Welcome back to Morning Air. It is so good to be with you once again, especially on this day, on this anniversary of the miracle of Fatima.
Well, John, always good to be with you. Thanks for having me on today. It's been a while since we spoke. Yeah, it's a special day, and I loved your this clip from Ricardo Montalban. And as I'm listening to that, I'm looking at the frame picture on my wall in Portuguese of that headline and that paper, O Século, because that was everything. Remember, that reporter was sent there to do a hatchet job on this, to dispel all of this, these goofy ideas that the Blessed Mother appeared and all of that. And he converted on the spot. So many did. 70,000 people were there and witnessed it. And, you know, you talk about the possible, you know, people who witnessed it. Well, we have an interview with Dominic Reyes. It was made in 1957 by our founder, John Hafford. He interviewed Mr. Reyes, who was a 12-year-old boy at the Miracle of the Sun. And we have actually a DVD, which is available on BlueArmy.com if people would like to see it. But it was a beautiful interview with him. A witness who was there, who talked about going there in the rain, mud up to their knees. And then after this event, you know, he looks down, all their clothes were clean, everything was dry. The miracle went well beyond the visual of the sun, you know, and it pierced the hearts of so many people, particularly the skeptics. It really pulled back at that point all of the anti-clerical things at the government, and it was wicked at that time. We think we're going through stuff around the world today, and even in this country, they were, you know, the priests were under sanction, and it was just a horrible time in the country there. But it was Our Lady's statement that day, and this was the proof that what she had said, what these children had said, was true.
Absolutely. And, you know, I played that clip with Ricardo Montalban because it's first of all, it's so powerful. The entire documentary is just, I remember the first time I saw it back in the 90s, it just blew me away. I was blown away when I saw this. And I realized that at the time, there were still people alive that had witnessed the miracle. And in so many ways, I think Our Lady can use media like that documentary and some of the movies and the interviews that you've done with your apostolate, to bring people back to the faith, to open their hearts and understand the truth. And Fatima is real. And this is why we're talking about it here 105 years later, about this this huge miracle. Really, when you think about it from a historical perspective, there hasn't been anything this big since the days that our Lord Jesus walked the earth.
Well, it was the first predicted miracle after the resurrection in reality came forth and came at the time it was said it would come. And it was to bring people to believe this message, which is the most monumental message of our times, okay? You know, are we living in the end times? Are we in these apocalyptic things? Oh, who knows? Maybe we are, and maybe we're not. Or maybe Our Lady is saying, as I say with all prophecy, John, you know, prophecy is put in front of you so you can see the direction we're going. And there's always a solution that's given. And the Fatima is the message of hope. And if there was no hope, why would she even come? Okay, you know, if there was no hope for salvation, no hope for the world, and even in these times when we've ignored a lot of what was requested back then, there's still time to turn around and come back. You know, that's why the rosary is so important. Our Eucharistic adoration is so important. You know, we need to make reparation for sin because sin has just overwhelmed the world, as you well know.
I remember Ricardo Montalban ending that documentary with the message of Fatima in a nutshell being return to God. And I mean, it's so needed. It's needed more than ever today in our country that has become so woke and in so many ways has forgotten about the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have, you know, believe me, many people did follow what Our Lady said, and I believe truly that it has thwarted other terrible things that could have happened. But let's look at the history of the last 100 105 years. The 20th century will probably prove to be the bloodiest century in history, although the 21st is now catching up and maybe even going beyond that. But when you see where we are at as a people today, turn around. If we put on the sackcloth and ashes, okay, you know, like the king of Nineveh did, all this would stop, in my opinion. You know, we were just involved in the Rosary Coast to Coast this past Sunday in Washington, D.C. We processed with the Eucharist. We were part of a number of organizations, and we went to the mall and had our beautiful rally over there. And this is what the Eucharist and the Rosary, and how many people around the world joined in that beautiful Rosary at 4 o'clock Eastern last Sunday. These are the type of things that are going to bring us back to God. And by the way, I just want to point out something. I've got some news here about an hour ago that just today at Fatima, it was announced that the positio on Sister Lucia, who was the last surviving seer of Fatima, the one who lived 88 years after the apparitions, this has gone to Rome now. It's one more step closer to her canonization. And it shows how she practiced her virtues, her heroic virtues. I'm very touched by this because we have a very special relationship with the Sisters of Coimbra in Portugal, the Carmel, where she lived for 57 years. We co-published their books. They published Portuguese. We've been publishing several of their books in English. And the one, The Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary, it's probably the one we love the most because that's her biography, which was written by those sisters. But today is a real day of joy because this is one step closer now to her canonization.
And we are breaking this news right here on Morning Air this morning with David Carolla, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, and Our Lady's Blue Army. How appropriate on this 105th anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun. Can you embellish any other details that we should know about this miraculous event that we're witness? People aren't sure exactly, somewhere between 70 to 100,000. It was a huge multitude. Anything else that we should know, perhaps maybe even the visions that the children saw that day?
Well, the children saw so many things. They saw Our Lady. They saw Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Our Lady appeared that way. They saw St. Joseph with the child Jesus. This was the panorama of heaven that they saw. Okay, and the hearts of so many people that were there that day, that even though they didn't visually see these things, they came to understand. And so it gave a credibility to these children, these little children, you know, Jacinta, Francisco, now both saints, who lived 2 and 3 years after the apparitions, but gave us this tremendous understanding of what it means to become holy. You know, and then Sister Lucia, you know, when they asked Our Lady, will we go to heaven, you know, yes, Jacinta Francisco will come soon, but you, Lucia, will stay a while longer to make me known and loved. That's 88 years. Think of a while. Think of eternity, if 88 years is just a while. You know, she was here to give us a life, show us the life. So what happened on that day, what came through, all of the visions they saw gave a credibility to basically what Sister Lucia would then present in the other things that would come to her in the years, like in 1925, when the first Saturday devotion was given to us. The first Saturday's devotion is the unfulfilled part of the message of Fatima. And she brought that, was given to her at Ponte Vedra, Spain in 1925 when she was with the Dorothean sisters. You know, the most important thing, John, that we make reparation for sins against Our Lady. This is asked directly by Christ. I mean, this the child Jesus asked Sister Lucia, you know, will you do this for my mother? You know, and then in 1929, when she appeared to her in Tui, Spain, where she asked for the consecration of Russia. Now, look what happened. You know, 1984, St. John Paul II made the consecration, which was accepted. There's always controversy about that. There always will be. People say that, you know, why didn't things change immediately? What happened? Look at that. Well, things did change in those years, especially in Eastern Europe. But, you know, why did it take 55 years for this to come to be? So, again, it shows the power of consecration. And it also shows the negative part of waiting and doing it in our time and not in God's time. And Sister Lucia, I believe on that day, at that moment, at the time of this great miracle, I believe that their credibility overall, but hers particularly, was just entrenched in people's hearts so that these things that were brought later would be listened to.
Obviously, the consecration is still relevant today. The message of Fatima more than ever before. Earlier this year, Pope Francis consecrated Russia and Ukraine as a special request. Do you believe that when it's all said and done, this consecration will bring peace and bring an end to this war?
Well, what I will say is this. A consecration is just brings an abundance of grace. I look at this consecration that the Holy Father did in March with so many bishops and priests and laity. We had it here at the Blue Army Shrine. Bishop DiMarzio, who's the retired bishop of Brooklyn, a dear friend, he came out and prayed the consecration here, as did so many bishops and priests. Our own bishop of the diocese here in Metuchen, Bishop Cechio, did it at the cathedral. And the beautiful part about that is it is a flood of grace that comes down from those types of things, John. But what do we do afterwards, okay? That's the question right there. Now, are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation? This is what Our Lady asked us in 1917. Are you willing to turn from sin? Are you willing to pray for the conversion of sinners like the children, after they saw that horrible vision of hell, you know, understood? So, you know, why would anybody want to go there? We need to put in their minds the understanding of salvation and, unfortunately, of condemnation. People who turn from God, well, this is what happens if there's no repentance. This is what this is all about. So the consecration opens a door for us. But will we walk through it? And that's why we are, especially in this year, we're working very strongly with the USCCB on this, the Eucharistic revival. And we're very excited about that. We're in our 75th anniversary now. We're kicking off our 75th anniversary of the founding of our apostolate, when Monsignor Colgan went to his pulpit here in Plainfield, New Jersey, and asked for a blue army of prayer to counter the red army of atheistic communism. Well, that's 75 years ago. You know, things have changed, but that secularism, that communism, or that atheism portion of it is so prevalent today. This is what we have to overcome, and that's why when our founder spoke, you know, with Sister Lucia and developed that pledge, that for 75 years millions of people have signed to live, pray the rosary, be devoted to the brown scapular, live according to your state in life, and work towards the attainment of the first Saturdays, the five first Saturdays, and continue on afterwards. You know, we are having a march of pledges. We are promoting nocturnal adoration so strongly in this, particularly nocturnal Eucharistic adoration overall. These are the keys. Fatima is about, you know, reparation, and particularly Eucharistic reparation, that will really melt the heart of God, you know, and keep these horrible things that have been predicted. But they're not predictions as much as they are telling us, as I said earlier, the road we're on, and we can turn from that road. I am so convinced, and St. Pope John Paul II often said that, you pick up that rosary, you put everything in the hands of the Mother of God. That's the solution to turning this world around.
Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. David, I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate you being on with us. You are one of a kind. Your expertise, you're living the message of Fatima, just dedicating your entire life is so outstanding. Yeah. Real quickly, your website, Blue Army?
Ours is BlueArmy.com. And one quick plug, if I can, for people to see the St. Michael movie on Meet the Angel, on St. Michael the Archangel. I know that you have been promoting it here on Relevant Radio. And again, they're going to have screenings in the, we've been promoting that with the producers, stmichaelmovie.com, I think, to find out where you can see it on the big screen. I think it very much ties into the message of Fatima.
Absolutely. After all, it was an angel that first appeared to the children at the year before the beginning of the series of apparitions. So, David, again, thank you so much for being with us. All the best. Many blessings to you and your ministry.
Yeah, thank you, John. God bless you. Be well.
God bless you, too. David Carolla, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, and Our Lady's Blue Army. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our spiritual director, Father James Kabicki, will be with us to discuss the upcoming feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So stay with us. There's much more to come on this Thursday as Morning Air continues after this short timeout.
looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
You gotta love it. A little Latin music for you here in the morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning, the 105th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima's Miracle of the Sun. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, this coming Sunday, October 16th, Catholics remember and celebrate the life of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the French nun whose visions of Jesus helped her to spread devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus throughout the Western Church. Our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque between 1673 and 1675. She heard Jesus make 12 promises to those who would respond to the pleading of his heart and make an effort to return his love. Joining us live is our spiritual director, Father James Kibicki, with much more on this upcoming feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Father Kibicki is a Jesuit priest, a retreat director, and a spiritual director at the St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, and as well as a longtime contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kibicki. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
It's good to be with you, too. And as we anticipate, October 16th, it's on a Sunday, so we probably won't be celebrating the feast of St. Margaret Mary, but it's good to remember her on that day as anyway. She's a favorite of mine because when I was director of the Apostleship of Prayer for the United States, I helped promote devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I wrote a book about that called A Heart on Fire. And so St. Margaret Mary played a big role in promoting this devotion and making people aware of the deep love that Jesus has, and that's symbolized by his heart. She was born in 1647, and even in her childhood, she had a very deep love for the Blessed Sacrament and used to go spend time in church in front of the Blessed Sacrament rather than playing with a lot of her friends. And at the age of 9, she received her first Holy Communion. Shortly thereafter, she was confined to bed for 4 years because she had rheumatic fever. And during that time, she made a promise to our Blessed Mother. She said that if she were restored to health, she would become a sister, a religious woman. And that is indeed what happened. And as a result of her healing, she added the name Mary to her name. She was baptized Margaret Alacoque, and she added the name Mary, Margaret Mary Alacoque. And then in time, she lost track of that promise. She thought that it was a childhood promise, and so it wasn't binding, and she began to go to dances. And one night after returning home from a big celebration, a dance, she had a vision of Jesus who was scourged and bloody and who reminded her of the promise she had made to our Blessed Mother. And so shortly after that, at the age of 24, she entered the Visitation Order, a convent in Paray-le-Monial, France, and that's where she spent the rest of her life. It was during that time as a Visitation Sister that she had these visions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And ultimately, her spiritual director, who was a Jesuit by the name of St. Claude Macolombier, helped her to convince her community and indeed then the church beyond her community to accept these as authentic visions and to establish a feast eventually in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Can you talk a little bit about St. Claude de Colombier? Apparently, he believed in her at a time when there were a lot of skeptics that did not believe in her, but he stood with her, and he was, as you mentioned, her spiritual director.
Right. And, you know, he himself, he was a Jesuit priest who actually had been imprisoned in England. He had gone there to be chaplain to one of the Catholic royalty. But this was a time in the 1600s when the church was being persecuted in England, and he was imprisoned and almost died. And this would have become a diplomatic incident that would have reflected poorly on the relationship between England and France. And so he was released, but still recovering from the illness, it was probably tuberculosis that he contracted when he was in that prison. He was sent to be chaplain of the sisters in Paray-le-Monial. The idea being that, well, this would be simple work, quiet work. He wouldn't be too overworked by becoming chaplain to the sisters. And so in the course of confession, St. Margaret Mary came to him, bared her soul to him in the confessional, and he discerned that these were authentic visions of Jesus. Her own community disputed this, didn't believe in her. She was not well accepted in her community at this point. But in time, after St. Claude had died, some of his writings were being read in the community, and the community recognized that St. Claude was talking about this favored soul to whom Jesus had appeared, and they recognized this was their own sister, Margaret Mary, and because St. Claude was so well beloved by the community and trusted, they began to believe in these visions that she had had. She was eventually made a novice mistress and given a little more recognition in her community. And 4 years before her own death, so in the year 1686, one of Jesus' requests was that a feast be celebrated in honor of his Sacred Heart. And so in 1686, the community, the visitation community there at Paray-le-Monial, celebrated a feast day in honor of his Sacred Heart.
This is fantastic stuff that you're sharing with us, Father Kubicki, and we are so blessed to have you because you have really studied this, obviously, writing your book on the Sacred Heart, Heart on Fire. Where can our listeners get your book?
Well, of course, it's available through Amazon, and it was published by Ave Maria Press. I always encourage people to go either right to the publisher or to your local Catholic bookstore and support them, because they really struggle to provide good Catholic material for us. So any Catholic bookstore, you can go online, you can find it there, but also at the publisher, Ave Maria Press, located in Notre Dame, Indiana.
Now, devotion to the Sacred Heart has, since St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, continued to develop. It has spread like wildfire all over the world. The famous image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is so well known by most Catholics, is a special gift, and it all goes back to this little French nun.
That's right. You know, devotion to the Sacred Heart, you could say, goes back to the Gospels, where we read that in John chapter 19, that on the cross, Jesus' heart was pierced and blood and water came forth. And so early church fathers and theologians reflected on that mystery of the sacrament of baptism in the Eucharist, water and blood coming from the heart of Jesus. And in the 1200s, St. Gertrude the Great had visions of Jesus and wrote prayers to the Sacred Heart. But it was really with St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that we get, let's say, the flowering of this devotion. When Jesus appeared to her, he appeared with his heart on fire and surrounded by thorns, indicating how he is hurt by our sins. The image of his heart that appeared on his chest also had a cross over it and was also pierced. And that's the way, when we see pictures or statues of the Sacred Heart, that's how it's depicted. And that comes right out of what St. Margaret Mary described. I always like to remind people that this image of the heart of Jesus on the outside of his body tells us how much he loves us. You know, we have the expression, "My heart goes out to you." And when we look at the images, the pictures, the statues of the heart of Jesus, what we see there is a heart that is always there for us. It's always going out in love for us. And that, in a sense, makes him very vulnerable to our own ignoring him or our own sins and the way we would hurt him and reject his love. So the image of the Sacred Heart really comes right out of those visions that St. Margaret Mary had.
Father Kubicki, I can't help but think of the connection, the similarities between the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Divine Mercy devotion. St. Faustina also, like St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, people didn't believe her either. But there's something very similar. I know there's a connection between these two devotions.
Yeah, you're very right, John. And when you read St. Faustina's diary, Divine Mercy in My Soul, you see the connection between the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Divine Mercy, because throughout her diary, she's praying to the Heart of Jesus. She has beautiful images where Jesus says, much like he said to St. Margaret Mary, he said to her, "I wait for souls, and they are indifferent to me. I love them tenderly, and they distrust me. I want to lavish graces on them." And then she says that Jesus told her, I want people to snuggle close to my heart. So it's very much related. This heart of Jesus, Sacred Heart of Jesus filled with love, is also a heart filled with mercy for us. And so the words that Jesus asked St. Faustina to have painted on the image of himself as Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you," is so similar to Sacred Heart of Jesus, "I place my trust in you." The two devotions are really connected.
I really, really love the way you put it, Father. I want to invite our listeners, if you have a special devotion to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and especially the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who she points us to, we would love to hear from you this morning. We're taking your calls for our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, 888-914-9149. Please dial us up right away. Don't wait till the very end, because I hate to always have to, you know, run out of time and we can't get to your calls. So again, 888-914-9149. We'll take a short break as we continue our conversation with Father Kubicki. Stay with us. There's much more to come on St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and the Sacred Heart of Jesus right after this.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149. This is Morning Air.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
When I wake up in the morning, love.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being with us here this morning as we're having a fascinating conversation with our spiritual director and the spiritual director at the St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. He's also an outstanding retreat director. We're talking, of course, about our very own Father James Kubicki. We're talking this morning about the upcoming feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We'll be back with Father Kubicki in just a moment, but I want to quickly remind you, in case you haven't done so already and you haven't even heard about it, we're less than 7 weeks away from the Advent season, and Christmas is going to be here before you know it. This year, celebrate the Christmas season with a beautiful nativity set. Can you believe Relevant Radio is actually giving away 200 sets? They're doing it again this year. These nativity sets are made possible by a very generous donor. They're hand-painted and they're perfect for your porch, for your windows, and especially for the front yard. So you can display the true, the humble, and the profound reason for the season. But you need to do it today. You only have until midnight Central Time. That's October 16th to sign up, just literally 3 days away. So proudly welcome Christ into your heart and home this year. Sign up to win today at relevantradio.com. relevantradio.com/set. That's relevantradio.com/set for a chance to win a beautiful nativity set from Relevant Radio. And folks, make sure you do it this morning. Do not put it off. All right, Father Kibicki, welcome back.
Thank you, John. Great to be talking about this.
Father, there's so much to talk about in so little time. Can you give us kind of a brief overview of the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart from our Lord Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque?
Okay, thank you for that question. You know, if you look at these 12 promises, we might think, well, Jesus, you know, said these 12 promises, number one, number two, number three, and it didn't work like that. These are promises that appear throughout the letters of St. Margaret Mary to different people, and it was a Dayton, Ohio businessman by the name of Philip Kemper, who in the year 1882 had gone through her writings and took these 12 promises and had them printed up in cards. And they became so popular that within 15 years of his first printing them, they had been translated into 238 different languages.
Wow.
And they're wonderful promises. Like number seven is tepid souls shall become fervent. In other words, that if people promote this devotion, if they practice this devotion to the heart of Jesus, and if they are lukewarm in their faith and in their relationship with Jesus, they will become much, much more fervent. That's number seven. Number six, sinners shall find in my heart the source and the infinite ocean of mercy. Now, that sounds just like divine mercy.
Right out of Faustina.
Right. That's why the two of these devotions are so related. And so the 12 promises are great promises of Jesus to all of us, that we can grow in holiness and grow closer to him if we practice this devotion to his heart.
And Father, number nine of the promises, I will bless those places wherein the image of my Sacred Heart shall be exposed and venerated. It's a beautiful thing to have an image of the Sacred Heart in your home. I've got one right here in studio. Never leave home without it. It's just such an inspirational, such a beautiful thing to have this image of the Sacred Heart for us to meditate on the love of our Lord.
Yeah, that is for sure. And, you know, this is where family consecration came about, is the promotion of having families place an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in a very prominent place in their home, basically enthroning him as the king of their home, to recognize him as the heart and center of their family life. And it's again, a great way that families can practice this devotion. But everyone, you know, in my office at St. Francis de Sales Seminary, I have several images of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, both because I want to follow out this promise of number nine promise of Jesus, but also as a way to remind the seminarians of the love of Jesus, and hopefully that they, as future priests, will begin to practice this devotion themselves.
The first promise, I will give them all the graces necessary for their state of life. Only Jesus gives us his grace through his mother.
That's right. And, you know, whether the person is a lay person, an ordained deacon, a priest, a religious consecrated person, or married, whatever the state of life, Jesus is promising them that if a person is devoted to his heart and allows the love of that heart to touch them, that they will have the graces to persevere in their vocation, in their state of life.
You know, I can't help but think today on this 105th anniversary of the miracle of Fatima, you know, the message of Fatima is all about Jesus. She's pointing us to her son. Return to God, return to her son. The second promise is, I will give peace in their families. Our Lady of Fatima also asks us to pray the rosary. So we can obtain peace by meditating on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And if you pray the rosary, that's even a double bonus.
That's right. And again, you know, being devoted to his heart means basically that we recognize him as the king and center of our hearts. And the only way there will be peace in the world and Pope Pius the 11th instituted the Feast of Christ the King. It's the last Sunday before Advent. We'll be celebrating that in November. It was a way to recognize there won't be peace in our world. There won't be peace in our families. There won't be peace in our own hearts unless we recognize Jesus as the King and center of our hearts and of our world. So this is a great promise, but it requires something on our part that we say, thy will be done and thy kingdom come, and really mean it when we pray that prayer in the Our Father.
And obviously, our Lord wants our hearts. These promises are not like a magic formula. He wants us to have a change of heart, to give our total heart to Him. And that's something that every Friday, I remind the folks, you know, that on Fridays we remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we try to do that here every day, every Friday, especially on Morning Air.
Yes, that was the 12th promise was that Jesus said that He would be very present to people at the hour of their death if they came and went to confession within 8 days of the first Friday, and then went to Mass and Holy Communion and received Holy Communion on 9 consecutive first Fridays. And again, this is not kind of a superstition. Well, if I get this done, if I do my 9 first Fridays, then I don't have to worry. I don't have to go to Mass on Sunday. No, the idea of this promise is that it will hopefully plant a seed and create a habit where we want to go to Mass, not just 9 first Fridays in a row, but every first Friday of every month. And in that way, we show our devotion to Jesus, and He will certainly bless us.
Father Kubicki, less than a minute to go, your final thoughts on the importance of this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and why it is more needed, why Jesus is more needed now, especially here in our nation, than ever before.
Well, you know, Pope Benedict XVI in the year 2006 said that this devotion was indispensable for us, for our living a Christian life. And basically, it's a reminder that the heart is a symbol of love, and it's the deepest interior of a person. And if we enter more deeply into the heart of Jesus, we will take on His way of seeing things, His attitudes, His values. And in that way, we will experience His love in a deeper way. But also, we will have our own hearts converted to be more like His. So our prayer, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours, is a prayer that we should pray every day, so that in that way we become more and more like Jesus, and we are pleasing to our Father as Jesus, His own Son, was, and we can bring about peace in our hearts, in our families, and in our world.
Father Kubicki, thanks so much. We're going to have to leave it right there. We're just flat out of time. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, John. God bless you and all our listeners.
And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Haircut by Sue Pastor. I'd just gone through life-saving surgery, brain surgery to be exact. Came home from the hospital and surgery with a bald head and metal sutures all around my skull. I looked like Frankenstein and felt so low and depressed. I wouldn't let anyone without see me without having a scarf or hat on my head. To tell you the truth, I didn't want anyone to see me or talk to me. I was so depressed. Several days after being home, I came out of my upstairs bedroom to go to the bathroom across the hall. I didn't have a hat on. I didn't think anyone was home. But as I came out of the bathroom, lo and behold, there was my 3-year-old grandson. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and all of a sudden he got a huge smile on his face. He put his arms around me, and he gave me the biggest hug. Then he looked at me again and said, Bubba, and that's what the grandkids call me, you got a haircut. I looked at him and said, yes, I did. He asked who cut it, and I said, the doctor did. Well, I was fine with him. He made me realize I was still loved no matter what I looked like. Because then I held his little hand and allowed him to take me downstairs to be with the rest of the family. It didn't bother him that Bubba looked like that. And I knew everyone else then could accept it. That little boy is 8 today, and I'm still Bubba, only with a little more hair. Let us never forget the unconditional love that children have in their hearts and how we often ignore it. From 1 Samuel 16:7, But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the hearts.